So student loans, you heard a lot this morning about some of the proposals regarding student loans, and we're going to talk a little bit more about student loans, particularly in Chapter 13 cases. So Marcos, how do you deal with student loans right now?
So I practice in the Southern District, down in the Rio Grande Valley. We don't actually get a lot of student loan debtors. Traditionally, we treat them as pro rata claims along with the other unsecured creditors. Although reading this report has, made me understand the problem a bit better. And just from a practice standpoint, student loans are a looming problem. The report mentions that student loans are now larger than credit card debt, than vehicle debt, and I think it's something we really need to pay attention to make sure that debtors do get their fresh start upon discharge.
And one of the neat things about the commission report, they recommended not only bankruptcy code changes, but best interpretation of current law. One of the recommendations was, as they mentioned this morning, that student loans be given priority status. And, of course, that would require a code amendment. But the reason they wanted to do that is to facilitate the separate classification of student loans. And I think that can be done under existing law. And when you read the commission report, they talk about how existing law can be interpreted now to be able to separately classify student loans and pay them more than what other unsecured creditors would get. And what I like to do is see them separately classified and paid according to the contract. So they're going to be paid either as a conduit student loan or directly. In my jurisdiction, it's usually directly to the student loan creditor. But here's why. So here's the statutory framework. We've got 1322b5 that says you can cure and maintain what I'll call long-term unsecured debts, anything that's going to mature after the term of the plan. You've got 1322b1 that says you can separately classify unsecured creditors in the same class, but you can't unfairly discriminate. And so you have to kind of deal with that. And then you've got 1322b10 that says the plan can provide for interest on a non-dischargeable debt, but only if you pay other unsecured creditors in full. And that's not always feasible to do. So what the commission has recommended is look at these statutes. They've recommended changes to clarify how these might work together. But under existing law, if you have a student loan that's going to mature in 10 years and you've got a five-year plan, that is a long-term debt. You should be able to provide for a cure and maintain under 1322b5. And that is grounds for a separate classification because the code lets you cure and maintain long-term unsecured debts. Student loan is a long-term unsecured debt. So that was one of the recommendations, is interpret existing law to let you do that. You don't have a problem with the interest because your plan is not proposing to pay interest. You are proposing to maintain payments according to the contract. Now, how those payments get posted is another matter. But your plan is not saying, I'm going to pay this non-dischargeable student loan with interest at 8%. It's saying, I'm going to maintain the contractual payments. Why is that so important to maintain contractual payments? You really need to have an understanding, and let me know if I start getting short on time on this particular topic, but you really need to have an understanding of how the Department of Education treats student loans outside of bankruptcy. So if you are in default in a student loan, if you are behind in payments, I think it's like more than 6 months, you're in default. You cannot enroll in an income-driven repayment plan. You cannot continue to participate in an income-driven repayment plan. When you get out, your tax refunds will get confiscated. The interest continues to accrue. you get hit with an 18.5% collection fee. All of that gets capitalized into the principal, so interest continues to accrue on that. And the result is you might end up with starting with a student loan of $100,000. And if you do not maintain contractual payments, in 5 years, you're going to owe almost $150,000. And to me, that is a very valid reason to separately classify those student loans and pay them directly according to the contract. The Department of Education has a template for non-standard provisions to put in the plan. Now, you might get pushback from your trustees on whether you can prefer these student loan debts, whether you can separately classify. You might have court rulings already, and you're just stuck with it. Or you find the right case and take it up on appeal if the code is not amended. But I think it's very important to understand what happens with the Department of Education so that you can be assured that your clients, if you represent debtors, are able to get their fresh start. Creditors, maybe you've got a disposable income objection. I think going from a $100,000 debt to a $150,000 debt if you're not making payments should be a special circumstance that can be considered, but that's just my opinion. The other thing the commission recommends is if it's a co-signed student loan, you treat it just like any other co-signed debt. Just because it's a student loan shouldn't take it out of that fair discrimination for co-signed debts. But a lot of that is factual. It's case specific. I will tell you that with a cure and maintain...